Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by broadcaster, author, comedian Tony Hawks. He's got a new book out, which is very humorable, as Stuart Pearce would say.
Very funny.
We also were joined by Ian Smith, not the former leader of Rhodesia, but indeed the comedian.
Or wicketkeeper.
Or wicketkeeper, who was very funny. Actually, he was really good form. He'd had a big night, although he denied it. But no, he was on good form, Ian. And
a bloke who makes guitars out of cricket bats.
Yeah. You may have seen him during the Cricket World Cup. We tracked him down, Colin Flint. And you'll hear from him as well. Plus, a bit of nonsense from us. Got a bit loose at the top of the show, let's be honest. You'll hear that. And here it all is. It is 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Now, look, you do seem a bit distracted at the moment, and there is a reason for this. If you were listening
the
day before, you'll know that Andy has lost his cup. He went into Clinton Cards. Other shops that sell cards are available. Not that many, to be honest, but that one. Okay. But he went in there and he bought one of those kind of oversized mugs, sort of thing as an afterthought, a little extra you'd buy your mum. It was turquoise. It was a mug. He's that attached to it. He can't even remember what the slogan was on it, but it was something like, you know, you don't have to be mad to work here, but it helps. I think I'm allergic to mornings. Very lame kind of thing. But it was the size of the mug. It wasn't the sentiment that bothered you, was it? It was incredible. Honestly, Andy, I'm your mate, I can say this. It was an incredibly lame mug that was beneath you. And I was quite surprised you came in with it. I thought you'd kind of... Somebody bought it for Sue as a birthday present she didn't want, and you'd just taken it out of the cupboard.
I just needed a cup because the cups that they supply here are a bit rubbery. They affect the taste of the coffee and tea.
But don't you think that says... I mean, that mug, that's a statement mug. It says something about you as a person.
I went size. Size and convenience. I wasn't really bothered about design in this particular case. They're not like me. I like design normally.
I know. You should think more about what your mug says about you. Maybe this is the time to tell you that I threw it out the window because I worried about your image. But it's gone missing. And now Andy pops up out of the office and goes on a little walkabout to try and find it and ask questions. It's like Wexford. He's walking around the office saying, you haven't seen my allergic to morning / mad to work here, but it helps. I can't remember the slogan.
It's one for the teenagers.
Yeah, he's kind of wandering around. He's
Kings
Wexford.
Markham.
He's still managing Portugal, isn't he, Wexford? He's still out there in the game of football. So if you've seen it, I mean, it hasn't left this building, but or if you've had it away as a bit of a joke, I think at one point we'll turn all the lights off in this building.
Yeah.
And then we'll put them all on again and we'll hope to see Andy's mug there.
Had a look in the big boss's office. I thought
if he was sitting there, if he walked in and our gaffer was sitting there drinking from your mug, what are you going to do? You're going to claim it back,
aren't
you?
No, I wouldn't, no.
Would you do the Larry David? You look him in the eye, is that your mug? And he'd say, yeah, I bought it in Clinton Cards yesterday. I really like lame slogan mugs. And then you'd look him right in the eyes and around the eyes, wouldn't you?
I'm going to buy another one, I think.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, not like that. Get a better one, mate.
Anyway, the US coach...
We'll crowdfund one for you. Get you a good one. If you're in the mug business and you think a good size, it's got to be kind of quite a tall one. You know what I mean? Yeah. See if you can help Andy out. Slogans.
Anyway, the US coach...
He's good lame slogans. He does the sport on CNN.
men. Yeah. Yeah. And you obviously would have reported on the US women's team last night.
Yeah.
Who won 13-0.
Yeah, we're going to have a chat about that later.
Coach said she was in tears watching the team win 13-0. Never mind her. What about the Thai goalkeeping coach? She'd have been in floods with you.
Yeah, she would
for goodness
be, really.
Sake.
The... You could, a tournament, and men's World Cups have had 10 nils, etc. A tournament can stand one of those, a good tournament.
You
can't have too many of those. You don't want to see too many stupid
score
lines.
I mean,
like
one thing's 31-0 in the early stages of the sort of World Cup, you know, like American Samoa.
We had a chat with Spencer Pry yesterday, who managed the Thai women's team a couple of years back. Yeah. And I said to him, there was a few reports today, Spencer, they thought it could be, you know, double figures. And he said, oh, no, it won't be that. He said, they're kind of tenacious. They're not the most skillful players, but they battle, they are tenacious, and he just couldn't see it, so he would have been gutted, I'm sure, because he knew and coached many of those girls.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, but we'll have a chat about that. Now, I watched Scotland and Wales, so Scotland first half, and they did all right for 43 minutes, and they were really under pressure. They were so under pressure that after 29 minutes, a ball dribbled out for a goal kick, and they all started cheering, Scottish fans. You know they were under a lot of pressure.
Ali Ross got in touch. Pre-match, when the news came through, of course, that there was no Andy Robinson playing, which was a huge blow.
Yeah.
He did say, no Robinson, I suddenly feel 1,000 miles away from home. And he said after the game, we had a shot on target. 18 years that's taken.
It's fantastic.
And I thought, well, at least you're heading in the right direction, Ali. That's true.
I tell you, I mean, I sort of fancy myself as a bit of a scout of football players.
Do you really?
I'd say he's a good player, that Belgian number 10.
He's not bad, is he? Just keep an eye on him. Definitely keep an eye on him.
It's the first time I've ever watched Eden Hazard playing for Belgium and not worried if he got injured. I didn't want him to get injured, of course. But normally you sit there, don't you, think, oh, I hope he doesn't get an injury and he'll be out. But, you know, that's Madrid's problem now.
Yeah. 70,000
people will be expected to turn up tomorrow to watch.
70,000 watching some keepy uppies.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Mm. Then the second half, I was watching Wales. And I never watch Wales without thinking of the great old Match of the Day commentator, old mate, Ian Gwyn Hughes.
Yeah.
And the thing about Ian Gwyn Hughes, that he always called Simon Davis... Simon Davis.
Well, that's his name.
Yes, but he never
called him... In a Welsh accent.
But he never called him Davis. And I thought, I'll go onto YouTube and see if I can find a goal by Simon Davis, commentated on by Ian Gwyn Hughes, and see if he doesn't... If he actually says Davis or something. Well, I found one. Here it is.
Good.
Here is Simon Davis, though. Have to go by himself. This could be a stunning run. Can he finish it, Simon Davis? He can! What a great goal by Simon Davis!
He could have said Davis in the middle, couldn't he? Yeah, he could have said Simon Davis on the floor. Davis, Davis, Simon Davis. He didn't have to say Simon Davis.
He had at least two surname-only options there, and he chose not to.
Yeah.
What is it? Does he? I mean, maybe because there's been so many.
A lot of Davises, obviously.
There's been a lot of Welsh Davises. Ron Davis.
Wyn Davis.
Wyn Davis.
Brian
Davis.
Di Davis?
Yeah, goalkeeper,
Davis,
the old Everton keeper. Yeah,
Di Davis, yeah.
There's been a lot of Davises, so that's why he went for that.
He did. What a great analysis of that match. Honestly, and then Hungary had Harold Bishop's favourite player.
Oh, yeah.
Nedge.
Nedge.
Nedge, not Madge, obviously. It doesn't quite work, really, but I liked it anyway.
Nedge. Is that a word, like to nedge? He nedge, she nedge, they nedge.
Stop nedging me, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like nidge, but nedge.
No, it's one of those words. It's an old English word, isn't it? It's like when you're down in the West Country and they'd say, you're not just pushing it, you're nudging it. It's called nudging. That's one for
true.
You. We'll ask Charlie Baker, you'll know what nudging is.
It's true. Yeah. And the Hungarian goalie was called Galashi, or as the co-commentator on Sky called him, Gulashi. Well, he was Hungarian, I suppose. Honestly, he did.
Gulashi. Blimey. Gareth Bale, what happened with that miss? That was terrible, wasn't it?
What a miss. Yeah, well, terrible.
Not
miss.
Good for Wales. But well done, Northern Ireland. 12 points out of four
games. I was going to say that.
What sensational.
A job Michael O'Neill's doing there.
Yeah.
Fantastic,
yeah.
Really. They've so Germany and Holland up next. But if they can nick a result or two there, you know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Hawksby Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Made a welcome return to the studio to tell us about his new show. He's comedian and Manchester United fan, Ian Smith. Good afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I forgot what time it was then.
You a bit rushed or you,
no? I've just I guess I'm not long out of bed, so I feel like it's morning. But
what are your
comedians' hours?
What are the comedian? What are the? Give us the kind of rough comedians' hours. What's an average day for you?
Well, no, usually I'm all right. Usually I'm set my alarm at 8, stay in bed till 9, maybe go to the gym, maybe procrastinate a bit, but. Yeah, this morning up at up at 12. Come here.
What time did you do this? What time did you get in last night?
I can't remember. So, I wasn't drinking or anything. I just think I've got a problem with
remembering.
My memory's going. Or,
right, okay.
Were you working last night?
That's quite serious. What a forum to tell us your memory's going.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's got a bit too serious. But no, I wasn't gigging. And I know that because I had a ready meal.
Oh, okay.
I had a nice ready meal at a normal time rather than midnight.
So. Well, can you elaborate? What did you have?
This is really testing me
now. If you can remember this, your memory's back.
Yeah, no, I've got it now. It was, this is what people are tuned in for. Lovely bit of pork and a sort of apple sauce.
That's nice.
Bit of cabbage. You've got to have something like that.
Yeah. All in the same kind of polystyrene?
Yeah, all in a plastic dish.
You were in hospital last night. Taking a blow to the head?
Yeah. Well, now I remember.
Yeah. So, the show, Ian, Half-Life. Yeah. Mm. Tell us a bit about that.
So basically, the title comes from, it's about two things. It's about my relationship, and then me and my brother went on holiday to Chernobyl.
Really?
Before it became trendy.
It became trendy to get a dose of radiation. Yeah.
Well, after the incident, but before the TV series.
Good bit after the incident. The TV series is, I mean, it's a great TV series, but It certainly made it harder for anyone to believe that I'm going to make it funny. Because it's a pretty bleak show. It's more about like it being a kind of tourist attraction. So it's about Chernobyl. Also, I entered a professional Scrabble tournament, and I didn't really like Scrabble before doing that. And my wedding got
postponed. Wasn't the Chernobyl Open? This was back here, the
Scrabble. No, yeah, this was back. If I did all of that in one place, that'd be mad.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Was it a bit? It wasn't the big Times tournament. Was it a local Scrabble tournament?
It was. So I thought I'd go in a bit easy. So I entered Aylesbury Scrabble Tournament.
Yeah.
Which isn't in Aylesbury. It's in Stoke Mandeville near Aylesbury, which I found out on the day.
Yeah. You get more points for Stoke Mandeville than you would Aylesbury, wouldn't you?
Well, they told me.
Yeah, probably.
It's got a Y in it.
Yeah.
I turned up and I said, why isn't it called Stoke Mandeville Scrabble Tournament? Because I went to the wrong place.
Hmm.
And they said, it's a bit wordy. Like, yeah, but that's where it is.
Surely that's the point.
It's wordy is the point, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
On a slightly more serious note about Chernobyl, they have asked for people who are now going there post-series, because there's been a rush of kind of Chernobyl tourism. 30 to 40% increase since then.
Yeah.
To treat it with a bit of respect, because if you've watched the show, you should realise what a terrible thing happened there.
Oh, yeah. Me and my brother were always kind of fascinated by it, but I was reading this morning that there's like Instagram influencers and models going there taking their clothes off and taking photos of that, which is just crazy.
Yeah,
so all my photos were top on, you know, long sleeves,
classy, quite tasteful photographs.
That is depressing that people are going to Chernobyl to put it on Instagram. That's that's poor, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. So, what was it? I mean, they still kind of. They get the meters out and record that there is more radiation in the air than maybe there would be in Stoke Mandeville.
Yeah, so background radiation is like 0.03 on a Geiger counter. near the reactor is about 0.8, so maybe like 20, 30 times normal. And then they have these things called hotspots where the tour guide will say, put your Geiger counter next to that plant pot, and you put it on there, and then it goes up to 30 point something. And then everyone queues up to do that. It's like 1,000 times normal.
Yeah.
But it's all.
They don't sell it in the souvenir shop though.
No. Although they do have a gift shop though.
Really?
They've got a gift shop that I imagine is there. They tell you not to take stuff from Chernobyl, like you know bits of rock from the floor or anything.
Yeah.
But there's a gift shop there, so you can buy stuff from Chernobyl.
What sort of things they have in the gift shop? I mean, the standard fare.
T-shirts, mugs. just like any regular gift shop, but
rock.
Yeah, parts of the reactor.
Mm.
Yeah. Weird. So, how long ago did you go then, Ian? How long was you?
So, me and my brother went back in March, early March.
Yeah.
And the TV series. So that's my kind of claim, is that I went before all the idiots started going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so look, if you're going there, treat it with one performance by Jared Harris. So he is sensational, isn't he? Well, the guy should get more work.
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it? Oh, he's brilliant. I mean, he was brilliant in Mad Men. He's a great actor. He comes from good stock, doesn't he? Of course, you'd expect him to be. So that encompasses all of that within the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you are a Manchester United fan as well.
Yeah.
Do you get to games then again?
Yeah, not as much as I'd like. I go to a few games. But it's just hard at the minute being a United fan. It's too stressful. Yeah. I keep googling, Man United, and then having to switch the update to like within the last hour,
right?
Because I've seen everything.
Yeah,
trying to get some transfer rumours, but they're all just made up. But I'm desperate for some knowledge.
Some
of
good
something.
News. Yeah, it's that time of year. We keep going to the old News Now page and refreshing
I
that.
I think there's
going to
be some Pogba action and somebody from Madrid coming in the opposite direction.
You reckon? What do you reckon?
Could be Bale, could be Isco.
Isco sent the market. Isco could be good. You know, I don't like him at Spurs. Yeah, it's going to be a tough season next year, I think. I mean, it's going to be quite hard to get back into that top four. Unless would you like Bale? Would you love to see Bale at your place? Or?
Not really.
No.
But like, not like. I kind of agree with what I guess Solskjaer's saying. He wants to do is getting like young, exciting players or positions that we need to strengthen. I just don't really trust Ed Woodward, the kind of big finance guy there.
Yeah,
I'm calling him out on TalkSport. If you're listening, Ed, I don't trust you.
Sort yourself out.
Your new winger, I watched him last night, Dan James. He's, I mean, even on telly, because telly slows things down, you know, when you see something. Yeah. He's like Roadrunner. I mean, he is quick, so quick. So.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's hard to know, like, if a footballer could go against someone, like, in the 100 metres and stuff, but he looks crazily fast.
Yeah.
I'm happy we've got him. I hope we get Wan-Bissaka as well. I think he's incredible, but everyone's just so expensive.
Oh, I know, yeah. It was not your money, is it? I mean, that's what I suppose he's indirectly.
And United have got the money, and they've also got Lukaku. They'll get big money for him. They'll get big money for Pogba. So they've got a room to be a bit flexible.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Ed.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he often tunes in, I'm sure.
Good.
The Underbelly Buttercup, we can catch you. is that right?
Yeah, they... They call their venues weird things.
They do, yeah.
One of them's called the Wee Coo, which I never
want. The small cow. Yeah.
But I don't want to be saying that when I'm telling people where I'm performing. So the Buttercup's a bit better.
Yeah.
Five fifteen every day at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Throughout Edinburgh, and there's a brackets. It says brackets, not the 22nd. You're doing the lot. You're doing every night and a day off.
No, I don't think I'm doing the 12th. No one's doing the 12th.
No one's doing the 12th.
That's
grouse shooting day.
5:15, is that right? Is that where they're all going grouse? All the comedians are going
grouse shooting.
I can't believe
season.
That. But 5:15 is good for your body clock, isn't it? Because and your memory issues.
Yeah.
So, because then you can get on it, have a good line.
Yeah.
And then do it all again the following
day. Yeah.
Good time. I'm
always thinking you've got so much more chance of being successful if you. That sort of time at Edinburgh. Yeah, it's a
good spot.
Going up at sort of 8 o'clock against, you know, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a bit more... You're not competing against, like, the big mainstream acts, I guess.
Well, look, we wish you well. We're going to be up there doing a couple of shows mid-August with our good friends at Green King. So we'll catch up with you then, Ian.
Cool, yeah, see you
Fantastic.
Then.
All the best. Ian Smith, there, his show, Half Life, 31st of July, 25th of August at the Underbelly Buttercup. Go and check him out in. Are you doing some warm up gigs? You doing some bits and pieces around?
All over the place.
Okay.
Probably best to follow me on Twitter. That's where I talk about it.
Do that. You can follow Ian Smith Comedy on Twitter, iansmithcomedy.co.uk website. You're also Facebook, Instagram, MySpace. Your MySpace?
Yeah, still got a MySpace account.
That's fantastic.
I'm struggling with that at the minute. Yeah, well, I'm updating it. Viewing figures are down, but I'll keep with it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
During the Cricket World Cup, they've had little marketing ideas and little things they cut to during the game. And one of the things you may have seen at a number of the games is a cricket-backed guitar being played. Someone goes through, you know, Smoke on the Water and, you know, all the standards, all the rock standards there. And I thought, well, they're intriguing. Where do they come from? What's the story there? I thought it was just a one-off. But no, we discover that there is a company that makes them cover drive the cricket-backed guitar people. And from Cover Drive, we're now joined by Colin Flint. Hi, Colin.
Hello.
They're amazing. They look like a kind of, obviously it's a Fender Telecaster bass, isn't it, which you use by the look of it. Not really.
Basically, it's they're kind of the easiest guitars to build. You can throw them together all over the place with different ways. It's the simplest method in the Telecaster style.
What sort of people want these or buy these? I mean, who's after? Because it's quite a specialist sort of market, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to like cricket and you've got to be a decent guitarist.
I guess, yeah. To tell you the truth, I think a lot of times people are buying them not to play. A lot of times people are buying them as kind of art objects to kind of hang on the wall and that sort of thing.
Wow, okay.
Which is a bit of a shame, really, because, I mean, they're really designed to be played. And I've been talking to the fellas that are playing them at the games here, and they're really liking them. So.
Does the make of bat, it's going to sound stupid, this, in the same way, piece of willow or whatever, or you know, a bat's different and a guitar's different based on the piece of wood. Do you get a different sound from a Gunn and Moore than you do from a Schlesinger or something?
You certainly get different densities of willow and obviously shapes of bats, and they will give you a slightly different sound, for sure.
Wow.
Because the modern bats are much heavier and thicker, aren't they? So.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, there's a lot more room in there to cut out for your pickups and everything and your control panels.
What sort of money do these go for? If there's someone listening, I know someone who'd like one of those. What sort of money are we talking about?
They are reassuringly expensive, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, are they custom? I mean, do you custom make
them?
They
are. They're custom made, yeah. I mean, there's quite a lot of work goes into each one. I mean, obviously, cricket bats are all, they're handmade, so they're being all different shapes. There's no way you could just CNC them or anything like that for routing out. They've all got to be individually done, kind of thing. And so, obviously, some of your measurements change slightly, obviously, with each one. If you're using the same bat, making a whole load with the same bat, obviously it makes it easier. But yeah, each one is slightly different, so they're quite complicated to put together.
And the same way that people want, vintage guitars, I see on your website you've got an old Len Hutton Gradage, Len Hutton Four Roses bat that you've turned into a guitar.
Yeah, piece of cherry. About 10 years ago I did that one, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's a nice one. There's another one. There's an old Gunn and Moore from the 50s that I've got on the website there as well, and that is absolutely beautiful.
Fantastic.
I don't think it's ever been played with.
I suppose the set list, really, as well. You should think about the cricket set list that the guitar players could play.
I don't understand why 10cc weren't on there.
Oh, yeah. I suppose. Yeah, it's got
Red Lock Holiday.
All the boys just play. It tends to be the very recognisable guitar riffs we've been hearing because they get their little window.
They had a list that was cleared with the ICC, I think, of what they could play, which they'd agreed to.
They're all Grey Nichols bats, aren't they, Colin? I see.
Yeah, they are. Mm. Yeah. Oh, they're really nice bats that we made those out of, yeah.
The Gunn and Moore ones are lovely, though. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So people, they can contact you through Cover Drive online, cricketbatguitar.com if they're interested.
Cricketbatguitar.com, right. You can just get in touch with me, email me, and we can give you some prices. I mean, the ones on there at the moment, they're in the region of sort of 900 odd, but give me a call and we can do deals on all of those that are on the site there.
And you have I see you have a nice flight case for them. They come with a flight case, which is great.
They do.
Coffin.
They do. Yeah.
yeah. It should come with its own coffin.
What about making a flute out of a stump?
What about it, Andy? it's slightly different. Dermot from Haynaught's come straight in. He said, surely we've got to be getting one of these from Schlesinger from Guns N' Roses.
Marvellous.
He'd wear a cricket helmet instead of his top hat, couldn't he? Yeah.
The puns are worse than Steve, who builds these with me. His puns are terrible.
Okay, well, look, tell him to get in touch. If he's got any good ones, we need him. I'm sure Neil Hannon from the old Duckworth Lewis method,
he'd
Divine Comedy,
these,
would have loved one of these.
Definitely.
I don't know if he's aware of them. I know he listens now and again. We'll put the word out to him. Cheers,
Colin.
Absolutely,
Colin. Yeah.
All the best.
Yeah, if you speak to him, tell him we'll sort him one out.
We
Thanks
will.
Very much.
Okay, take care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We spoke earlier on that Colin, the maker of the cricket bat guitars, the kind of telecaster turned into a cricket bat that you've seen during the Cricket World Cup. You've seen guys playing all the old famous rock and roll riffs. And we've been asking about the set list and other cricket-related puntastic matters, and you've responded as always. Adrian Holland says, about one of your own, Darren Hoffner. With Hadrian Durham a little bit later on.
He's a bit obscure.
It is a bit obscure. We kick off with that. Mark Fillmore's back. Presume a cricket bat guitar would be of interest to first Slipknot and then David Deep Extra Cover Dale.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Gunn and Gary Moore. Thank you. Didn't put their name on that. Peter in Manchester says, sure, it's got to be played through a Malcolm Marshall amp. Of course it has. Well done, Pete. Stumped in the Middle with You should be on the set list, as well as Smoke on the Water, says Gareth the Derby fan. Bat Out of Hell, says Anthony.
Thank you.
Don't Look Back in Angus Fraser, says Damien rubbish. In Chesterfield. That's quite like that. And of course, the guitar is a Gibson Les Paul Nixon, says Spike in Amersham. And this is a good one from Roger. Roger, he says, any Frank Sinatra song played backwards, then you're guaranteed reverse swing. Oh, come on.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Well done, Roger.
I like that.
Well
that's
done,
nice.
As always.
Now, today's recipient of the Jacobs, you're banned from watching men's football for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Goes to Daily
Award.
Award.
Yeah.
Goes to Daily Star columnist Dawn Neeson for this, from her excerpt from her column this morning.
Oh, yeah.
The Women's World Cup has attracted record viewing figures and demonstrates just how lovely the beautiful game still can be. No tantrums, no rolling around in agony over a tap on the shoulder, no crowding the referee, hurling abuse and decent haircuts. Pathetic, isn't it?
Just appreciate it for what it is.
Exactly.
Not trying to paint the men's game
it's fine,
a bad light.
It's fine. Dawn's just never watching men's football again. I have no problem.
I'm still interested to know, because this is the second day running you've said, you've decreed that they won't. I mean, you know King Herod, as, or the cricket, the footballing equivalent of. How you guys, this decree going to get out there that you're forbidden?
Bill Hartekop, he doesn't laugh at a lot, but he laughed at you're no King Herod.
You, sir, I knew King Herod, sir. You are no King Herod. But you're not, are you? I mean, you've issued some sort of edict, if I may.
Well, it's
And you said you, Dawn Neeson, will never watch men's football again. She's in a pub, say, with her old mate Mike Parry or someone like that. I'll get, okay, Dawn, stay there. I'll get, watch the game. Game's on. And you rush in. And you're always there to crash in and turn the telly off in the
say,
pub.
Dawn, no, you've got to find yourself a women's game.
And Mike Parry says, what are you doing, Andy? I was watching the game. And then Dawn's like, it's not going to work, is it? Not going to work.
Everton were 5-0 down, but Parry still thinks they're going to win.
We'll get back into this game. But it's injury time.
Yeah, that's true. Now, what else have we got? Snickers, the chocolate people.
Oh, yeah.
Have, not the plumbers.
Okay,
have presented Andy Ruiz with a belt. You know, he made this big thing about... You get the feeling that he's got a real sort of Buster Douglas feel about him, that this was his moment.
This was his moment. Do you know what? I've had a bit of a manic week since I got back from Madrid. I've sat down for an hour and watched the fight last night in its entirety. And there's something up with Anthony Joshua. There was, you know, that wasn't. I mean, it's a well-trodden path now, but just watching it with my own eyes, I thought it did look like he had some kind of virus. He looked really just drained.
He just didn't look.
He was blowing from the first round. He's not an unfit guy.
I wonder what happened.
I don't know. But you kind of sense maybe he had a virus. He couldn't call the fight off last minute, but thought, I should still have enough to do this. And then when he got there, he felt a whole lot worse than he'd ever imagined. He's now not going to make excuses because he knows, after what happened with David Hay and the toe, sometimes you're better off just keeping your counsel and taking it on the chin, really, as he did on a number of occasions.
Well, we're going to see when they finally meet. Then we'll see whether it was, he caught him on an off night or he's got something about him.
When that moment, when he says to Rob McCracken in the six, you know, he says, why am I feeling like this? You know, there's some very odd things that went on there and they're clearly, it looked to me like there was something up with him. But the guy has got fast hands. Have you seen the fight back?
I haven't seen it. I mean, it's quite surprising, Ruiz.
He's not the greatest physical specimen, but he did have quick hands.
Obviously, you don't get that far without having something, you wouldn't imagine against Fury or Wilder, he'd have much of a chance. Now, today's announcement in the Times, I love this one. This is a triple barrel.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, Tinius Irvin Stubbs, this is the family, a daughter to Megan Grace Tinius and Finbar Magnus Irvin Stubbs.
Wow.
A daughter, Juniper Makara Tinius Irvin Stubbs.
What a whore. Remember those two? Just say that again.
Juniper Makara Tinius Irvin Stubbs.
Juniper Makara Tinius Irvin Stubbs. They were fantastic with that back five. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Who was in goal for that game?
No idea. Yeah. Honestly, it's incredible. Congratulations, but that is incredible, isn't it? Anyway, that's in the Times today. Do always enjoy those.
Yeah. Have you had this story from La Liga? La Liga have been fined 222, a double Shep, £222,000 by Spain's Data Protection Agency for spying on fans via an app. League officials didn't inform users they were utilising the microphones in their mobiles to identify venues that were illegally showing top-flight games. La Liga admitted the surveillance last year on their highly popular official app, which is used by 4 million people. So when you say on your app, you kind of basically allow them to access everything on your phone, they decided to find out people who were showing hooky feeds. La Liga have now removed the feature from the app, but sources claim they will appeal. And the league said they'd reported 600 establishments for illegal broadcasting of live games.
Are they entitled to defend themselves against this?
Well, what do you mean? La Liga?
Yeah.
Well, they're arguing. It was the nature of the way they did it. I mean, they might argue that it worked out because they found people that were illegal streaming. That was taking money out of the clubs and the league's pocket. But the way they did it without telling people fell foul of the regs.
There you go. Plastic pollution means we're eating the equivalent of a credit card every week.
Wow.
And, I've got head and go. I just go up to the card reader and just nod it.
Exactly. We'll be able to do that one day, and you'll be able to wink at the reader, I'm sure.
And
this is nice. I see this story. Pete Cowan, the short game coach, he's been working with Brooks Koepka, Yorkshireman, of course, proud Brit. He was explaining that Brooks Koepka has gone amazingly well recently, considering he was out for a good few months with a wrist complaint. He said he was very concerned for his career because he was going to lots of top consultants and they weren't getting anywhere. It was costing him a fortune. Then he went to see a horse chiropractor. And the guy immediately said, yeah, I know what's wrong, I'll sort that. And a bit of crunching and manipulation later, Brooks was fixed, says Pete.
Wow, that's
and
good.
It reminded me of the time that you went and saw a physio for a shoulder injury.
Yeah,
I did
have my rotator cuff.
Yeah, your rotator cuff.
Nasty.
And you found out that you shared this physio with Zara Phillips, not strictly with Zara Phillips, Zara Tindall she is now, but Zara's horse, Toy Town.
I know.
So you were treated.
Me and Toy Town, we've both got
you and Toy Town were both
now.
Treated by the same. Did the physio make you get on all fours?
Yeah, wear a
did
saddle.
You get a little cube? Did you get a little cube of sugar at the end?
I was a good boy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you kept still, you get an apple, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Remember, we told Zara this, and she gave us the. She was a bit shocked, wasn't she?
She
really?
Was a little
not
bit,
the sort of thing you expect here every day, is it?
Well, you know. Yeah. I don't blame her.
Not like we know. We only met her once.
Yeah, I know.
At a do, didn't we?
We met Mike quite a few times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's today, different, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's a
true.
Different person.
Mike was husband. Yeah. Today's oddly named races are the 7 o'clock at Hamilton, the Book an Audi Today handicap,
yeah.
followed by the 8:30, the Drive the Audi You've Booked handicap, followed at 10 o'clock by Park the Audi, 10:30 by the Audi. Is there any strange... What a strange series of races.
I get a feeling that the German car maker have had quite an influence on that this evening's meeting. Don't you?
Yeah.
They put. I think they'll have a box. Few of their boys will be leaving work early, leaving the showroom early, and making a night of it. I would think. If you're looking to buy an Audi tomorrow, in where is it? Where's the race happening?
Hamilton.
So if you're up in Hamilton, you're looking to buy an Audi. I mean, they're going to be in no fit state tomorrow. The boys are they? So you'll get. Well, they'll say, "Well, that's a brand new A4. I'll give you 12 grand. Yeah, all right, mate. I feel that rough today. I don't really care. Just take it. Here's the keys. Clear off. I'm not able to drive it. I can't give you a test drive today. I'm sure that's not the
Bill
case.
Bill didn't like that one. It didn't involve King Herod.
Okay. Well, I'll slip in some more Herod material. It's quite limited, really. It's quite a dark topic. There's not many places you can go with that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, if the music doesn't give it away, what can we say about our next guest? Professional skateboarder, actor, of course, owner of his own skateboard company, licensed video game magnate. He launched his own extreme sports exhibition. He was born in San Diego in California. It just is a legend.
He is.
What can we say? Ladies and gentlemen, please. Oh, hang on. Tony Hawks. We seem we've made a terrible error in the build-up. We got the wrong booking, Tony.
You've got the wrong booking, not for the first time in my career.
Good to see you again.
Lovely to see you.
This struck a chord. This is a book about being confused with the great skateboarder Tony Hawk, and it struck a chord with us because it's amazing on Twitter if somebody does something wrong, how somebody with a similar name will get bombarded, and people think, "Well, look at his avatar; it's not even the same person. Are you all mad?" And that's what this is about.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Tony Hawk has named all his kind of computer games after him, so they're called Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Mm.
And unfortunately for me, most American young skateboarders haven't grasped the concept of an apostrophe sufficiently to realise I'm a different person. So they go to my website, where it's very clear that I'm an English comedian and author, and still write to me for advice on, you know, how to do a kickflip or an ollie or a 900, or will I come and open their skate park or whatever. And it was going on for years, a decade of this I had, you know, sort of 10, 15 emails a week or whatever. And then I decided to start writing back, and I published all my sort of very rude replies on my website, and people said, "You, these are hilarious, you've got to make a book out of
this."
So we've compiled it along with my kind of nonsense assessment of skateboarding and where it is. I'm just being very rude and naughty in this book.
Yeah, the answers are dry and funny too.
But they are fair game, because as you make the point, if they were just clicking on a Twitter profile, a small picture on their smartphone, you could say, okay, they made a mistake. But these people that went and saw out a website saw a completely different person with a completely different CV and biography, but yet still asked the same question they would have asked of Tony Hawk.
And it's not in the book, actually, but I have had a couple from TV, American TV researchers. So they are a researcher by their title, and yet they can't research the fact that I am an English comedian and author and not the skateboarder they want to contact. I mean,
I love this. There's a few there. Just give you an example. Audrey. Dear Tony, I've been skateboarding for a couple of years now. I'm a girl and I'm sponsored by Stoked. And I also met you when you were filming the movie, The New Guy. But you probably don't remember me. This is a gay question, but how can you get noticed for skateboarding? Like, how did you become so famous and get noticed and all that? And you say, Audrey, I don't think that's a gay question at all. Stupid, yes, but not gay. The best way to get noticed skateboarding is to skate into other people as they walk along. It's amazing how a severe gash on people's shins can make them take notice. Now, do they ever come back to you?
No, well, after a while, I stopped sending them, actually. So I kind of, because it's kind of, you really don't want to get into sort of
of toing and froing with
no,
them.
No, I suppose.
So initially I did send them off, and then I just published them all on my website eventually, but and now in this book. But I used to put them all into a little folder, and then I'll have one afternoon a week where I fire off all these pretend replies.
Yeah, they're very funny, and some of them we can't read out on here, but that doesn't make them any less funny.
A lot of it you pick up on, you've noticed quite poor punctuation with a number of
spelling.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, my character, the Tony Hawk that they have got, rather than the Tony Hawk they want, will sort of say, you know, if you spent less time skateboarding and more time paying attention in English, the following errors wouldn't have happened.
That's the person who asks you for an autograph.
Yeah.
A-U-D-A. Brilliant, isn't it?
That's right. You say, you can have my autograph just as soon as we can get it fixed and running properly. As you're probably aware, the autograph is a complex piece of machinery. It's strange, isn't it? I suppose it's a little window on the world of the young person, Tony, though, isn't it? Really?
It is, and they kind of will... Well, the one thing I do know is that the real Tony Hawk seems to be quite a nice bloke, judging by the number of times I've been thanked for opening their skate parks or whatever.
Yeah.
I get a lot of thanks that aren't meant for me. But whenever they ask me to sort of come and open a skate park, you know, I'm pretty rude and dismissive.
You should really just go along and do one day. Yeah. I mean, make sure the fee is transferred into your account and the flight's all sorted. Just rock up in San Diego after a first-class flight from Heathrow and just see what they say.
With some protection.
Yeah.
Willie wrote to you, this guy. He said, will Florida be included in any of your touring events? If so, which cities? Thanks, Willie. Florida, no. Bexhill-on-Sea, yes. Any use to you?
Brilliant. And there is a third Tony, another Tony Hawk,
yes,
isn't there?
Discovered.
Ah, is that something I've written about?
You have. You've written about this bloke.
Yes,
Tony Hawk. He was a Welsh poet and writer.
Yeah.
I don't know if he gets a lot of... He died.
Well, he's died, unfortunately.
He died about 66
years
ago.
There's some similarity to Dylan Thomas there. Yes, I mean, the book is ludicrous, isn't it? It's full of nonsense. But I'm hoping that it's one of those books that people want on their coffee table. You can pick it up, can't you? Have a quick laugh.
It's a loot book.
It's a good loot.
It's a very good loot book.
I'd take that as a compliment.
Well, it is a compliment.
Your book belongs in a toilet.
No. Because you can pick it up, laugh. Off. You know, you need a couple of minutes with it.
I mean, I must admit, I shouldn't pay compliments to myself, but you tend to write these books and then there's a long period before they finally come out, and I've kind of forgotten a lot of it.
Right.
But it still makes me chuckle. But
this has been this is Unbound, isn't it? It's the crowdfunded method.
That's right. It's an interesting approach. So the risk sort of goes out of the publisher a bit. So you basically pitch this idea, and then people come on board and say, "Yeah, I like it," and then they get all sorts of little treats and get to come to the opening. You know, not the opening night. It's not a play, is it?
It's a book launch.
I ought to know. I'm an author, but I don't.
I like the technical questions. Somebody's asked you a lot of questions. You say, "What are all the questions?" Somebody says, "How do you make a half pipe?" Which is obviously a thing in skateboarding. Take a whole pipe and cut it down the middle.
Yeah. You do give, which is, don't try this at home, you do give tips on the world of skateboarding, which people should really ignore, shouldn't they?
I hope they would ignore them. I don't know. I can't remember what tips I gave.
Have you ever skateboarded?
I skateboarded when I did a national tour. I did in my one-man show, and I entered on a skateboard.
Right.
And then kind of said, that's for any of you who came expecting to see Tony Hawk skateboarder. You've had some skateboarding. You can't have your money back now. And actually, I was in King's Lynn, and there were two teenage boys who had come to see Tony Hawk the skateboarder. And there's one thing sort of writing to a website, but actually paying money and having seen a poster.
Yeah.
But they stayed to the end.
It's incredible. Fantastic. You're going to be sending a copy to Tony Hawk. I think
actually,
he'd probably quite like it.
We should.
I think he'd enjoy it.
I have met Tony Hawk. This is the extraordinary thing. Years ago, when the Big Breakfast was still going, this is how long this has been happening. They realised on my website, and a producer picked up on it and invited me in. So I met him very early in the morning. I think he had jet lag, and it was all explained to him, these mix-up or whatever, and he simply didn't get it at all.
Well, probably won't appreciate
he
that.
Won't well, I think in a way, I mean, I quite want him to slag it off, because then when we do the reprint, we can put his slagging off on the cover.
Send him a copy, I'm sure.
Yeah, we should.
We normally, in the past, and as well as speaking about your comedy, your love of tennis and your campaigning to get people playing tennis. I mean, how's that been going?
It's going very well, actually, I have to say now. Tennis for free is the thing that we've been up and running. And we've been through so many kind of CEOs of the Lawn Tennis Association now that since we started, that they've now taken it on board, really. And so we're in partnership with them. We've got close to 100 sites. We'll have 100 sites up and running by the time Wimbledon starts. And it's a difficult time because, you know, there's cutbacks in councils and councils are strapped for cash. But really, the argument we're saying is, look, you've got a resource there, a tennis court that just sits there. I'm not convinced that it should be a means of generating income. I think it should be a place where people exercise. You know, what we're realising now with mental health, we need more people out doing stuff, not just stuck behind television. So I think we've kind of won that argument now, and it's just a question of how quickly we can start to roll it out. But it should be happening. It should happen in other. I think it should happen with pitch and putt courses as well.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You know, they're sitting there. Why would you want to charge a child, you know, £3 or whatever it is to go and play pitch and putt when it's there?
Yeah.
And they've got their whole summer holidays free. It's a kind of strange mentality that we've developed over the years, and it feels normal. And I think we should, you know, address that and think, well, come on, this sport is good for people. We want people doing stuff. We should be encouraging them, not deterring them.
No, absolutely agree. Where can people find the book, Tony?
Well, hopefully in all good leading bookshops.
And on Amazon and stuff.
One never know. Yeah, certainly online. Yeah. So search A to Z of skateboarding, Tony Hawk's. You could put Tony Hawk in and see what happens.
Yeah,
you'd probably get a bona fide skateboard book then.
You may get, it's win-win because you may get people buying it who think you're Tony Hawk. And
well,
so, you know.
That's it. I mean, that's why on the cover, though, we have to make it very clear that I'm not, because there'd be legal proceedings otherwise. It's called passing yourself off as.
You've made it pretty clear. I think there's enough notes on there that you're not Tony
Hawk. It's pretty clear on my website that I'm not Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
but
that's
true.
It could be a bestseller.
It says on the cover, definitely not Tony Hawk. You can't get clear in there.
I think as long as it keeps me out of the courts, I don't mind it.
Great
to see you guys.
Yeah, A to Z of skateboarding available now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll return tomorrow at 1. Have we got anybody in? I'm looking at the producer. Have we got any guests in tomorrow I can tell the boys and girls about?
Bill Burrows
has interviewed a sporting legend. We'll keep our powder dry on that. And you're going to be able to read it this weekend in your broadsheet newspapers. But it was quite an experience. So Bill's going to talk us through what went on. Quite quirky. So that's coming up. And And Jimmy Anderson joins us on Friday. What about that?
Good.
You seemed a bit surprised then. You knew, didn't you?
No, I knew he was coming.
Yeah, good, okay.
I was just waiting for this bit to end. It's been going on quite a long time.
No, I'll tell you what I'm going to have for my tea now. I'm not really. So thanks for downloading us. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.